So the question this morning is, do you believe him? Do you believe he's alive? Do you believe that he had sufficient power to rise from the dead? We got to the end of our reading, and we've got some in each camp, haven't we? We have Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who now believe. That they've got a slight advantage. I think if we harmonize with the other Gospels, they've met the Lord Jesus. I mean, that's not difficult when you've met him to believe. But then we've got Peter. And then we've got the other disciples who they spoke to. The other disciples who they spoke to didn't even bother to leave the room. Peter at least got up and went. And he begins his response in wondering and thinking. Perhaps that's where you are today. Are you wondering and thinking what this is all about? The Bible says Jesus claimed for himself to have power and authority from God to lay down his life and to take it up again. But do you believe it? Do you live like you believe it? He is not here. He is risen. That's the text. That's what the message is. That's what these men who shone like lightning, who the other Gospels identify as angels. One of our young people rightly identified them as angels. That's what they said. He is not here. He is risen. Well, the first part's easy to believe, at least, isn't it? Let's start with something easy. I mean, that's always good. Let's start with something that's relatively straightforward. He's not here. Actually, there wasn't anybody around who disputed that. Everybody believes that he wasn't there, that the tomb was empty. In one sense, that's the easy bit. The chief priests knew it. The guards ran away when they knew it. They had to be kept quiet about telling their story. Matthew, in his gospel, tells us how the guards reported the truth and the chief priest told them to lie. An unbelievable lie is what they were told to tell. The chief priest said, look, we want you to say that an undisciplined, unarmed band of fishermen scared you off, you professional soldiers, you. Pay them an awful lot of money to do it, but they did. You think about it the night before. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? The night before in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was perhaps one sword, maybe two. You know, only Peter is declared to have a sword. We don't think the disciples had arms. They weren't every single one of them with armor and weapons. Where did they get all the weapons overnight to overcome the guards? It's just unbelievable, that story. And that man Peter, did he really lead them to a victory? No, nobody doubts that the tomb was empty. Everyone accepts the body is not there. Would have been a non-story if there was a body, wouldn't it? If the Pharisees had wheeled out the body, yeah, there he is. That's the easy part. But what about the second part? He has risen. Now we're getting to the meat of the matter. Now we're getting to what we really celebrate. But now we're getting to something which is challenging to think about. A Christian believes that Christ rose from the dead. There is no other option. If you don't believe he rose from the dead, you have nothing. Indeed, Paul writes, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we're found to be false witnesses about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Those who have died have lost. And if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than most men. If Christ has not risen, we have nothing, says Paul. In fact, we have less than nothing. We're fooling ourselves. But you know what? There's a lot of people who still think that the tomb was empty and they question whether he has risen. We've seen a few examples of how we can make things rise. Some people suggest that the disciples were involved in spiriting away this body and proclaiming that Jesus had risen, just their words, creating a myth. Did the soldiers or the chief priests take the body away? Why would they do that? It doesn't add up. They want to produce the body and discredit the apostles as the cult of Jesus Christ flourishes. It's interesting, they never tried to produce a false body either at any point. They didn't think that would hold up. The disciples might have wanted to take the body and create the myth. But that means the gospel writers lied. They lied about themselves. They write that they hid in fear. But then they went on to die for a lie. I find that hard to believe. Well, then perhaps Jesus only swooned. He wasn't really dead. That, of course, that works. He doesn't then have to rise, does he? He wasn't really dead. He managed to move the stone on his own from the inside. Okay, he was pretty special as a man, you know, and he snuck out. But he overcame the guards without leaving a mark on them. And he moved a stone, which was sealed from the outside, and took a number of people to move it. Three or four fit and healthy women were concerned that they wouldn't be able to move the stone on that morning as they go to the tomb. And then we've got to assume the Romans botched the crucifixion. I don't think that's a plausible reason, argument, theory. The weight of evidence is that he has risen. He was dead, and he came to life again. That's the facts. We can't make any of these other things stack up. Whichever way we handle the information we've got, the truth is there. Jesus predicted a number of things, and they came true in his life. And the key prediction I think he makes is that he would die and rise again. He stated it would happen. We read John 10:17 before. And Paul, in the passage we read a moment ago, goes on to say it had to happen. We read that at the beginning. Ever since one man sinned, we needed this Savior to die in our place and to rise again. So what shall we make of this truth? He is not here, say the angels. He is no longer in the tomb. It's empty. And he hasn't been spirited away. He didn't swoon and revive. He has risen. Friends, this morning it's a simple question. You can either accept this as gospel truth, or you have to deny it. There is no middle way. They're all included there as demonstrably untrue. You can't have the middle ways you'd like to have. I know, I thought for a long time as a young man, let's find the middle ways. Tragically, my Sunday school teacher believed that the resurrection was a story and not a truth. And I tried to follow her. Let's not go down that road. But friends, you can't have the middle roads. They're not left open to you. He's not there. And he has risen. He was dead. He is alive. What will you make of this truth? The eyewitness accounts, the women, they remember his words. For them it was clear. For them, having met him, they know for certain. They came back from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11. And all of those things fall under the summary of, he's not in the tomb anymore. He has risen. So what do you believe? For every one of us, it is the same. Jesus claims to have the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. The evidence, the eyewitness testimony says he did just that. What an undeniable statement. He rose from the dead. What do you believe? I've spoken so far to those who perhaps need to decide what they believe about that statement. He is not here, he has risen. And if you've never really thought about that, and today is the day when you now believe he has risen from death to life, then I'd love to talk to you after the service and to pray with you. If you want to explore that some more, then please come and talk to me. But just briefly now, I want to speak to those of us who've been following this risen Lord Jesus for some time, to take up the challenge of the end of that song and the challenge that we see in the life of Peter at this point. Does Easter Day, does the risen Lord Jesus truly inspire you, drive you, encourage you, enable you to do works of service, to be a different person? You see, it inspired Peter. Do you remember where Peter was after the denials? Three times you will deny me and the cock will crow, and you get that moment and Peter fled. But just the hint of his Savior risen, the testimony of three or four women, it wouldn't hold up in court, but it was enough for Peter to get him out the door, to get him going looking, to get him hoping, to inspire him to act. I like that it's Peter first, because Peter had fallen the furthest, hadn't he? Don't you sometimes feel you've fallen too far to be of service? Screwed up too much, too badly? Too many foibles, problems, issues, whatever they may be, I do. But it's Peter who just the news of the possibility of the risen Lord Jesus is inspired to get out of the door. This message works best. This message is for sinners, to inspire us. And I want you, please, to be inspired today. Think of Peter. He's living behind a locked door for fear of the authorities. He's gone back to fishing, his old way of life. If we read the other Gospels, and just news of the Lord Jesus Christ gets him out there to go hunting, to go looking, to find out, he's inspired to action. And I think we see here why the Lord Jesus Christ predicts, on this rock I will build my church. Because the hint of the resurrection, when it becomes full blown, becomes the inspiration for a life of ministry and mission and service. The women also are inspired, don't let me be biased here. For the men, they're inspired enough to go and tell, to do. But the question simply remains this morning, believer, does Easter Sunday inspire you today? Does it inspire you? Will you let the truth of that first Easter day sink deeper again, deeper even than it has gone before into your being? And inspire you to action. Jesus has the power to defeat death. And to know what will happen to each and every one of us. He knows the day of our death. He knows. He has the power to overcome and to defeat. This should inspire us. This should encourage us. The world presses in on us. Sometimes we begin to question. Sometimes we begin to doubt the power that he has, the authority that he uses. We do say why. We do wonder if he wants to act. Questions we perhaps shouldn't be asking sometimes. Certainly questions we should think about carefully as we do so in the light of the power and authority we know Christ has. He has risen. truth is he wields ultimate power. The truth is he knows your future. The truth is he is the one who can save you from all things, especially from your sin. He wants to be your inspiration today. He wants to pick you up, to carry you, to take you, to encourage you, to enable you. So do you still live like you believe it? Oh, I know it was critical at the point you were saved, but does your life today still reflect this truth, that Jesus has the power over life and death? Are you perhaps more afraid of death? Or are you unprepared? You don't need to be. No need at all. Are you living in a way that shows you're hedging your bets, occasionally storing up riches here for a rainy day, having too many types of insurance, thinking too much about what's going on, when we have a God who holds the future and our Savior Jesus Christ is powerful over death? We must be so careful to live a life that proclaims this great truth. Jesus Christ has risen. He has conquered death. We too, with him, will conquer death. Let's live like that. Let's believe that. Let's show it in our words and actions. Will you let powerful Jesus inspire you this morning? I wonder if you need to commit your way to him again, to fall down at his feet and let him wash your doubts away. As we read, he will for Peter. If we look again at the other Gospels and see how he is restored to that service. Do we need to fall at his feet, the mighty risen Lord, to come before his throne and worship him, to let his Spirit's power draw our hearts and hear his voice in triumph ringing clear? I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore.